We'll be reading verses 9 through 21 for the basis of our lesson this evening. Before we read those verses, we're going to talk somewhat about love this evening and the love that we ought to have toward one another as Christians. And if we have the proper love toward each other, what does that result in? What does that bring about when we have the right kind of love toward our brothers and sisters in Christ, toward our family, and toward those with whom we come in contact every day? Love is an important subject. When you think about the love that binds people together, husbands and wives and parents and children, brothers and sisters in Christ, the love that binds people together of a likeness wherein they have some of the same interest, people of the same nation like the United States, a certain love we have for freedom, for the troops that might be able to have freedom to exercise our feelings and what we want to say, the love that binds between people. Love is an important thing. God is love. The Bible teaches us that God is love. He is our Creator, the giver and sustainer of life. And through Him, we see the example of love set, not only through Him, but also through His Son, who loved the Father enough to come to this earth and loved us enough to give His life. The Father loved us enough to send His only begotten Son, John 3:16, that we might have eternal life. Jesus came and laid His life down for everyone. How much greater love can anyone have than to lay down His life for His friends, much less those that do not even know Him? And so, God is love, and love then is a very important subject. There's some verses in Romans that talks about the love of God. In Romans chapter 8, and we're not going to take time to read all those verses, but in Romans chapter 8, it talks about the love of God and who shall separate us from the love of God. And so God's love is so great that if we want to have the love of God, we can. But we have to come to God on His terms to be a recipient of that love, for what that love will accomplish when we obey by faith His Word. So the love of God is great, greater than man can ever know, but yet we can know that God wants us to be people who will receive His Word, let His Word live in our life, and that we then would in turn have Jesus as our example, so then we would be as God would have us to be by demonstrating the proper love toward others. If that makes any sense to you, I think that is clearly the way it's meant to be. We are made in God's image. God loved us enough to give His Son. His Son gave His life. He demonstrated His love toward us by sending His Son. Therefore, we as recipients of that great love by being saved, we ought to act like people then as God would have us to be. And if we do that, we'll be people of love. We'll be people that care about other people in the right way. Let's look to Romans chapter 12 and beginning verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When you look at verse 20 and you think about the love that God had for us and the love that we ought to have for other people, verse 20 is a verse that really sets forth the element of how strong love can be if we have it in our heart, the right kind of love toward other people. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. So, throughout the Bible, we read about God's love for us and our love that we ought to have for God, and then our love for each other as men and women and people on this earth and brothers and sisters in Christ. If we have the proper love, then it will reach out to anyone with whom we come in contact. Even those with whom we may not be closely associated, such as these people who might be our enemies. We would treat them in a way as we would want to be treated. And the only way you can treat someone in that regard, if they're doing you wrong, is to have the proper love for that person. So loving each other and loving God is an important factor. This evening, let's take a few minutes and talk about the proper love that we need to have for one another. I'm going to look at several scriptures this evening. We may not read them all. We may just refer to some of them. But if I have the proper love for other people, if you have the proper love for other people as a Christian, then we understand that we are doing that which is essential in our life in order to please God. We can't please God without having the proper love for others. Go to John chapter 13 and let's look at verses 34 and 35 concerning love. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So if we wear the name Christian, if we've been baptized into Christ and we claim to be a follower of Christ, a baptized believer in Christ, a person that's a child of God, the one thing that we're going to have then is love. And Jesus talks about that in those verses in John 13. I give you this commandment that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So that brings about the question, how is it that sometimes brethren and congregations just cannot get along? There's fussing and fighting and discord, and every few years or every few months there's someone's got their feathers ruffled and they just can't get along, and someone's walking around, they've got they carry a grudge on their shoulder toward a brother or sister in Christ, and before long they say, well, I'm just going to leave, I'm going somewhere else, I can't get along with you folks. Or brethren become at outs with one another, and elders lose control, and then brethren lose control in business meetings, and congregations fall apart, and some people fall away and never come back. Some people are dispersed into other places and are never as strong as they once were. The one reason that brings all that about is just a lack of love, truly. A lack of love for God and for His Word and for an understanding of obeying His Word, and a lack of love for other people. If we have the proper love for God and we have the proper love toward our fellow man and we go to the truth and obey the truth, then we ought to be able to have peace and get along in the church and get along and have the right kind of attitude toward each other. So proper love for others is essential. We go back to, turn over in your Bibles to Romans, John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 12. Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So in the church, as Christians, as these disciples were being taught by Jesus, His apostles were being taught, you ought to love one another as I've loved you. We ought to love one another in the church as we have been taught to love by Jesus, as He set the example of love. Back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 again that we read, the idea of loving one another. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8 again, we ought to love one another in the church. Ephesians 4 and verse 2 talks about the fact that herein is the attitude that we ought to have toward each other as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. So that tells me that in the church, if I'm going to bear with someone and someone's going to bear with me, and we're going to get along and we're going to work things through and we're going to work out the truth and obey the truth together, love's got to be involved. Bearing with one another in love. Look to 1 Thessalonians. Turn over there and let's look at a couple of verses. 1 Thessalonians, first of all, beginning in verse 3. And the Apostle Paul, of course, he had numerous things to say about love in all of his epistles, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12, He says that may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another. So it's not just that we ought to love one another. It's not just that we have love for one another. But what is it that we ought to do? And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. So it's not a matter of saying, I love my brothers and my sisters, or I love the church. It's not just a matter of getting along and saying, oh, I love them, I'm going to bear with them. It's a matter of a love that reaches out with the right attitude, the right frame of mind, that when we're obeying God and others are obeying God, that love will abound. Love will grow. And if it does, the church will grow. The church will grow spiritually. The church will grow, and there will be people that will grow up materially and be grow up spiritually and be able to do the things they ought to do. The church will be what it ought to be if we abound in love toward one another. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. He says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to what? To love one another. So this love is very important. Love for each other, love for one another in the church. If the church at Beulah is going to be what it ought to be, then I need to be what I'm supposed to be to begin with. And if I'm what I'm supposed to be, I'll have the love of God in me and let Christ's example of love live in my life, and I'll be the right example to you by showing the right kind of love to you. Look at 1 John chapter 3, and let's look at a few of these verses in the latter part of the New Testament. And we think about the numerous times that John and those three short letters talks about love. The love of God, the love for each other, the love for doing things, and the love that we ought not to have. The love of the world is something we ought not to have, but we ought to have the right love toward God and toward each other. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11, he says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And then chapter 4 and verse 7 there, that same epistle, 1 John 4 and verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So when we really think about the love we ought to have in the church and the love we ought to have toward one another in the church, if I claim to know God and I claim to be obeying God, but I don't love my brother, I don't love my brother whom I have seen, how can I love God the Father whom I have not seen? So we love because God teaches that and instills that to us. Look to 1 Peter chapter 1. Go back just a little bit in your New Testament. To 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. And we see certainly the importance of love, having love. He says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. There it is again. Sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. So these few verses we've taken about 8 or 10 minutes to briefly look at tonight reiterates, and I say reiterates because every one of you here tonight already knew these verses existed. You know what they mean, but for me and you as Christians, we need to re-examine ourselves sometimes and understand that, you know, the love that I have in my life and my heart that I understand comes from God and through His Word and through His will and His way and through what Jesus did and setting the example of love, I need to have that in my life. And if I don't, I'm not serving God as I should as a Christian. So it is essential that we have the proper love for each other if we're going to please God, if we're going to lead others to Christ, and if we're going to help build up others in the church. The proper love for one another has to exist. And if you don't, things will just fall apart. Things will disintegrate and things will get worse. I had a conversation with a man yesterday, and he is a retired denominational preacher. I've known this man since I was just a small boy. So that means he's getting on up in years. He's still of sound mind. He still gets around. He does a lot of things that are good. The man visits a lot of people. He does a lot of funerals. He checks on people. He gives of his time. Good moral man. But we had a discussion. A little bit of a small, short discussion about the church. And he asked me if I was still at Beulah, and I said yes. And we got talking about the numbers. And it went from numbers to when so many people were there. And he got talking about, well, when so many people were over there and over here in different places. And so he got to talking about denominations and bodies of Christ. He's aware of it just like I am. And he said, you know, Charles, you look around in the county, in Coleman County, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's a country congregation, compared to what it was 30 years ago, they're about half or a third of what they once were. He's talking about all religious faiths, basically. And we see that, not only in the church, but in the avenues of the way that people do things in religion and other areas too. You see that also, that there's a slackness. There's a slackness. Something's happened. Well, the one thing that may have happened is a disregard for men's love for God and to obey God. Another thing that could have happened is men's love has shifted. Their love has shifted from a book, chapter, and verse and a true understanding of, I really want to serve God and do His will, and let's do it His way, and this is what we're going to do. The love has shifted from that to materialism and physical things and things you can touch and taste and smell and see and entertainment. They want to get their feelings feel good about entertainment. So the crowds are going, and they're going places where the love of God is not really there. It's the love for other things. It's the love for crowds. It's the love for entertainment. It's the love for, as the crowds did with Jesus sometimes, some of them fought Him for the wrong reasons to get their stomachs filled with food. So I need to examine my life. We all do, and say, what are my priorities when it comes to love? Is my love focused in the right direction? Is it on God? Is it on His Word? Is it on the truth? Is it on doing what's right? And is my love focused on treating all people as I should treat them and having the right attitude toward everyone, including my brothers and sisters in Christ, our own family, our neighbors and friends, and those with whom we come in contact? Proper love for others is essential. Without it, we can't please God. And I didn't tell you nothing you didn't already know. We're just reiterating some things for us today. So if we have the proper love for one another, there's three or four points I want to look at tonight. If we have that proper love for one another, something's going to happen. When we have that proper love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to speak to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're going to have the right kind of attitude and approach toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. When you look at Romans 16:16, 1 Corinthians 16:20, and 2 Corinthians 13:1, you see that when the Apostle Paul wrote letters, when he wrote letters to congregations, oftentimes at the end he would say, we greet you, Paul and others. He had named certain people that greet the church. And we're taught to speak to one another and be kind-hearted to one another. Paul set the example of being associated with his brothers and sisters in Christ by being toward them as he ought to be. He would greet them. He would speak to them. And so we just had a gospel meeting at Beulah. And we had a few visitors come in from different congregations and a couple from the community. But we had a lot of visitors from other places. And those visitors came in and most of them felt right at home because you spoke to those people. You made them feel welcome. And so when we have a gospel meeting, we try to put on our best approach. And somebody comes in the door, we try to shake their hand and good to see you, good to have you here. And if it's a stranger, we find out who they are and where they live and invite them back and kind of try to find out something about them and encourage them and fill out a visitor's card. And we're glad, and that's the kind of thing we ought to have. But if we have the right kind of love for one another, we're going to do that toward anyone that we come in contact with, and especially in the church between brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to know each other a little bit. We're going to know something about each other. I talked to a man not too long ago. He worships at a large denomination, And I don't know how many people go there. It's way up in the hundreds. And we were talking about where he attends, and he gives a lot of money. A man's well off. He gives a lot of money, but he says that he and his wife go in, and they sit on the back pew. And he said, I don't know hardly any of those people there. Been going there ever since the building was built. And he said, I go in, and we listen. I listen to the preacher's sermon, and we speak to whoever it is we see between there and the door, and we leave. And he said, I don't know those people. I don't know. He gives a lot of money. His intent is to do good and to go to church. But he said, I just don't know. People just don't talk to each other. He said, there's people all over that building that don't even know each other. And that'd be possible if you had 300 or 400 or 500 people attending. It might take a while for everyone to get to know each other. But you'd think after a few weeks and a few months, if there's 600 people in the congregation, that they'd all at least know each other's face. Wouldn't you? And if they don't, there must be a problem that someone's not trying to treat their brothers and sisters they ought to and get to know them. So, greeting and speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ. Being congenial with one another and talking. It's important that we would do that because in the church, we ought to have a lot of things that are alike so that we have some of the same things we want to talk about. The Word of God and the things that we have in common in the church. Well, if we have the proper love for one another, we'll have the proper consideration and care for others also. I've already read some verses that applies to that, but you think about proper consideration and care for brothers and sisters in Christ, for those in our family and those with whom we come in contact with at work and in the community, those with whom we have associations with in business. We need to have the proper consideration and care for other people, but most especially we look at Galatians, Ephesians, and the things that are written in the epistles. We ought to have the proper consideration and care for one another in Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Let's go back there and start and work our way back through the New Testament on a few verses. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. It says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty only. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. If we have love in our heart toward one another, we're going to have the proper care and consideration for one another. Go on to Galatians 6, 1 and 2. We just highlighted these verses this morning briefly, but brethren, if a man's overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we have the right kind of love for one another, we're going to show the right regard, the right consideration, the right care for people. Spiritual care, and also material care when it's necessity. Ephesians 4 and verse 32, we ought to love one another. Love one another. Be kind, tender-hearted to one another. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Illustrates the fact that certainly love toward one another is important. There, the Hebrew writer, in talking about serving God and doing His will and the assemblies, he said in verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 10, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So we ought to be considering one another, that what we do toward our brothers and sisters in Christ is upbuilding, that it's uplifting, that it's for the right attitude. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, again, the emphasis is on having the proper consideration and care for one another. And we go to 1 John. I want to read those verses. Go back over to 1 John chapter 3. We were close to these verses a few minutes ago, but let's go back to 1 John chapter 3 and look at verses 16 through 18 concerning love toward one another. He said, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So a brother may have a need, a sister may have a need, it may be a spiritual need, Galatians 6, 1. It may be a physical need, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. It may be a need, but if we shut up our heart from them, how does the love of God, this is 1 John 3 and verse 7, if we see his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So if it's essential for me to have the love of God in my life and be considerate of others and care about others and help others, and I see my brother has a need and I don't at least do what I can to try to help him, may not be much I can do, but whatever it is, I need to be trying to do it, because the love of God, how does the love of God abide in him if he shuts up his heart to him? So we see the importance of having love toward others and letting that love be exercised toward them in the proper manner with the right attitude. And then he goes on in verse 18 and says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue," here it is, "but in deed and in truth." So I may pray for someone that's having problems. I may say I'm concerned about brother or sister so-and-so that's having problems. But how many times do I fail because I don't really exercise and actually do something to try to help them? I fail many times in that regard. So we need to have the proper consideration and care for others. Now, another point, if we have the proper love for one another, we'll forgive one another when they repent. We covered this morning in our class, and also we covered it specifically in our sermon this morning about forgiving others when they repent. And when I put this in this lesson, I got thinking back yesterday afternoon. I said, I think there's two points I've doubled up on in the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday evening sermon, but so maybe I need this point because I doubled up on it. So if we have the proper love for one another, we'll forgive others when they repent. That's just part of it. Part of it. Several years ago, Helen and I were working with the congregation and preaching there, and there was this man had a drinking problem. And every few months, sometimes it would be every few years, but every few months he would come in and he would ask the brethren to forgive him. He'd been drinking again. Influence toward his family and bad influence on others and bad influence on the church. And one of the times we repented, and after services, a couple of people came by me and it just knocked the breath out of me. I mean, it's like taking and knocking my feet out. But they came by me and I heard them talking. "How long do you think he'll last this time?" Needless to say, I had a lesson about repentance and forgiveness the next Sunday. You don't preach to people, but you preach for people sometimes, for the good of people, for our own good. What kind of attitude is that? How long will it be before we miss the services again? How long will it be before he takes another drink? How long will it be before he gets on that bus and goes back to Mississippi to gamble again? If someone truly repents and asks God for forgiveness, and they come in humble submission and on the terms he asks, and they ask forgiveness, at that point, they're forgiven. And at that point, I need to forgive them. And I need to put it in the bag and close it up and throw it in the closet and not ever bring it up again. Now, if he sins again, and I know I need to go to him, tell him, and ask him to repent. If he sins again and comes and asks for repentance, I need to willingly forgive him. If we have the proper love toward people, we'll forgive them when they repent. Forgiving one another. Forgiving one another with the right kind of love. Well, a couple of more points. I believe it's two more points. If we have the proper love for one another, we'll teach, exhort, edify, and admonish them. The verses I have on the board talks about teaching one another, exhorting one another in love, edifying one another out of love, caring for one another out of love, teaching one another out of love. If we have the right kind of love for God and for God's Word and for the church and for ourselves, we're going to be men and women who, out of love, teach our brothers and sisters in Christ, teach our own family, teach our neighbors, teach those with whom we come in contact. Whomever we can make the opportunity to teach, we will teach them, because the proper love toward others is to teach them the Word of God, to exhort others to be obedient to the Word of God, and to edify and build others up in the Word of God, and to admonish others in the Word of God. That's our duty as Christians. To be built up in the Word and to build others up in the Word. And if we're not doing that, we're lacking in love, because that's what love does. It brings those things about. Well, if we have the proper love for one another, we'll be of the same mind toward one another. I mentioned issues in congregations about 22 minutes ago. I mentioned that in this lesson. Issues that people have in congregations and can't get along. Well, if we have the proper love for one another, we'll be of the same mind toward one another. How do we accomplish that being of the same mind toward one another? We take what God's Word says and we see that it is essential that we love God, we love God's Word, and we love the church, and we love Christ, and we love obeying God. So if we do that, we can have the right kind of mind toward one another, because we're going to have the right attitude toward one another. We're going to be teaching, we're going to be caring, we're going to be upbuilding. We're going to have the same mind. We're going to treat each other fairly. We're going to practice fairness toward each other. Being of the same mind. Be of the same mind one of another. Back to our text in Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. Again, he says, be of the same mind one toward another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. If we have the right attitude toward others, it means that we're not going to set our mind on high things, and we're not going to associate in the wrong place, but we're going to associate with the humble, and we're not going to be wise in our own opinion. We're going to humble ourselves before God. If we do that, we can be of the same mind one toward another. It's important then that we have the right kind of love toward each other. Practice fairness. So we'd ask the question then, with the few thoughts we've had tonight from the Word of God, do we have the proper love for one another? Do I have the right attitude toward you, and do you have the right attitude toward others? If not, then our love is probably out of line. So to fix that, we need to get our love toward God and toward His Word and toward Christ and toward the church, get it right. And if we've got it right, then we're going to have the right attitude and love toward each other, and things will be a lot better for ourselves and for others and for the church. I want to read a couple of songs before we conclude, and then we'll have the invitation song by Brother Jay. If I can find these numbers, let's look to number 394. I just want to read a few verses from a couple of these songs. 394 says, angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lip. Verse 2 says, love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred for a moment's reckless folly, thus too desolate and mar. Verse 3 says, angry words are lightly spoken. Bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. Love one another, thus saith the Lord. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey His blessed command. Let's look at number 536. I want to read it, and then we'll have the invitation song. 536 concerning love toward one another. Having the right kind of attitude toward others. And if we have that right kind of love, we're going to do the right thing toward others. And this song is entitled, All the Things We May Do. Have you lifted a stone from your brother's way as he struggled along life's road? Have you lovingly touched some frail, toil-worn hand, shared with someone his heavy load? Have you spoken a word full of hope and cheer? Have you walked with a slower pace till the weary of heart who were stumbling on took new courage to run the race? Have you held up your light through the shadows dark so that somebody else might see? Have you lived with a Christ through the long, long day, gaining many a victory? Oh, the things we may do, you and I, you and I. Oh, the things we may give if we try, if we try. Just a word or a song as we're passing along, they will come in the great by and by. Just a few words for thought this evening concerning love for God and love for each other. Do we have the right love toward others? And are we realizing the essential, the necessity of having love in our life and letting it act in the right way in all aspects of life? If you're here this evening and you need to be baptized into Christ, or if you have something we can help you with prayer, please come while Jay leads us in the invitation song.